Remember what I said, you know, you come to church without your Bible is like a soldier going, you know, to the front lines and not take his gun. Ooh, you say, well, they put it up on the screen. Well, if that's going to keep you from bringing your Bible, I'm going to make them stop it. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I want to share with you for a few minutes about a message God's put on my heart called Let's Get Growing. Not Let's Get Going, but Let's Get Growing. I want to share with you, pardon me, five things that every one of us in here can do. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Five things everybody in here can do to help us get growing here at Grace. How many want to see us grow? Your reason you want to see us grow? Because that means lives are being changed. That means that people are being saved. That means that people are coming into this place and they're finding here a remedy for the soul, a remedy for the body, a remedy for their marriage, whatever it may be. You know, God is wanting to meet the needs of the whole person. And I, for one, believe, and this is not bragging, but I, for one, believe that we got something good here at Grace. I believe we got something that will do the soul of people good because we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to tell you, if we get people hooked up and connected with the gospel and with the power of the Holy Spirit, their lives are going to be changed. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Five keys to increase at Grace. Man, you know, and how many of you got a bulletin? Did you get a bulletin? One of these things right here? Did you notice, if you open that thing up, did you notice what's on this other side here? Something says notes. Wonder what you do with that. Because here's the thing. The reason we do that is, you know, they say that, you know, within an hour of hearing a message, an hour after you've heard something, heard a message or whatever it is, that you're going to forget about 50% of it. And within 3 hours, you're going to forget about 80% of it. Isn't that true? Yeah, but, you know, you come to a good service. Man, wasn't that a good service? Yeah, boy, I tell you, man, Pastor, you know, what did you preach? Well, I don't know. I can't, well, it was kind of, but it was good, you know. We all been there. So we put that so you can just, you know, to encourage you to jot down notes. Yeah. Jot down notes. It's good. You don't have to write down everything, but write down the scriptures. The Holy Spirit just kind of quickens something that's said, you know. Jot that down. Then go back and revisit that. Yeah. Amen. Remember we talked about as your soul prospers. The first thing that everybody can do, five keys to increase and let's get growing, is number one, you know it, pray. Pray. Boy, I'm telling you, God has called this church to be a praying church. Amen. He's called us to be a praying people. And listen, before we do anything else, as wonderful as the plans that Grace Ann shared about the trunk or treat and different other things that we're going to be doing, if it's not first, the foundation of prayer is not behind it. If the power of prayer is not fueling it, then I want to tell you what, all of our efforts, we may have an event, but I'll tell you what, we won't see any fruit. And we want fruit, and I want fruit that remains. And fruit that remains will be fruit that we'll see show up in here. And they'll be taught the Word of God, and they'll get in the presence of God. And they'll be changed, and some of them will be ushers, and some will be on the prayer team, and some will be on the worship team. Some will get involved in children's church, and women's ministry, and men's ministry, and their lives will be changed. But here's the thing. It starts with you and I. And you know, there's not one person in here that cannot pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. Then get started. Amen. I talk about prayers like riding a bicycle. Did you ever read a manual on how to ride a bicycle? There's lots of good books about prayer, but there's no book I ever read about how to ride a bicycle. You know, all I can tell you is get on that thing and pedal like crazy. And if you fall, get up and get on again. But in prayer, and we listen, I've taught, if you've been coming to this church, I've been teaching you on prayer. You say, well, I hadn't get it. Well, every Monday night I preach on prayer. Where are you at? I teach you on prayer every Monday for 3 years. I've taught something about prayer. Isn't that true? Those of you that come, isn't that true? Yeah, I got a witness. I teach on prayer. So here's the thing. We know this. James said that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person, James 5:16, releases great power. What's going to happen when you and I begin to pray? Great power is released. Thank you, Rick. Great powers. I don't mind if you talk in church. It's okay. You can answer me back. Amen. Because I like to know you're listening. Okay. I'm not up here to hear myself. I want you to listen. He said, great power is released when we pray. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 21:22. He said, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll have. Woo! If that don't get you to praying, then I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do for you. When Jesus said, if you'd ask. So what do we begin to do? We begin to pray. We begin to pray for family members. We pray for people who are lost on the job. Neighbors that we know. We call them out by name. You know, that's why we do these lists here. But there may be somebody, maybe that's, you didn't put on the list, doesn't matter. But you pray, you begin to cry out, say, God, save John, save Susie, save Martha, save whatever. You know, move upon them, oh God. Give me an open door. Give me an opportunity to speak your gospel into them. Send somebody by their path. We begin to cry out for the lost. Cry out for our community. When's the last time you prayed over your workplace? You prayed over the people there. You prayed over that boss that's giving you such a hard time. Know what I'm talking about? Remember what Jesus said? He said, bless those who do you wrong, who persecute you, talk about you. He didn't say gripe about it. He said, bless them. Well, what greater way can we do than to pray? And I want to tell you something. If we'll get a hold of this simple truth that we, when we pray, God hears. When God hears, things happen. The Apostle John said it this way. He said, if we ask anything according to His will. How many know it's God's will for the lost to be saved? Isn't that true? For them to be snatched away from the fires of hell. And He said, if you ask anything in His name, He said, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have what we asked. So the first thing is prayer. How many of you will pray? Just pray. You'll pray for the lost. You'll pray for people that you know. Might be family, might be co-workers, might be people in your neighborhood. Whoever it is, pray for them. Amen? You know, a lot of times Cindy goes shopping and I go following her around the stores. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? You know? That's exactly where I'm headed. You got it. So while I'm in there and they're doing that thing and I'm following around, you know, that's exactly what I pray for everybody that's in that store. I don't know them, but I just pray over them. I pray for the clerks. I pray for the other shoppers. I pray for those poor husbands that's following the other wives around. I pray for them all. I pray for them. Amen. Man, you know, we'll go from this one, and then we'll go on that one. You can do that. I'm telling you, make it a habit. But especially those that you work around in your, let's be a church of prayer. We're talking about let's get growing. Listen, let's pray and cry out to God. I want to see this place filled with people worshiping God. You imagine we get this place, man, I mean, we just get this place packed out with people worshiping God, a mighty prayer army lifting up a mighty roar of prayer going up from this place for Boynton Beach and for Florida. I'm telling you, what a power it will release. James said so. And the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but what? Two can put 10,000. So what? We get that geometric principle of the kingdom operating in here, Gary. Glory to God. Man, you know, it's kind of like, you know, pushing that car up the hill. Once you get it up over the other side, oh, hallelujah, jump in. We're going somewhere. So the first thing everyone in here can do is pray. Is pray. Jesus, He told the disciples, He said, look, the harvest is white. But the labors are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers. Let's be people of prayer. Let's don't be so caught up in ourselves that we don't have time to pray. The second thing is to be faithful as believers, to be faithful. You know what? The Bible says a faithful person will abound with blessing. Do you know, it's not always easy to be faithful. It's something you have to develop in you. Faithful to come to church. Faithful to pray. Faithful to get into the Word of God. Faithful to share the gospel with others. Faithful to get into a place where you can serve, you know, in the body of Christ. Listen, how will you develop? How will your gifts, how will your abilities that God's given you, how will they be developed unless you develop some faithfulness? Is some people, it's no wonder that the preacher can't help them, and even sometimes God can't help them because they're so unfaithful. They're up and down. They're in and out. I mean, they're here one Sunday and they go three Sundays. You don't know where they are. They tell me they're hungry for God. You can't get them here on Wednesday night to a Bible lesson. Here's the thing. You know, if we're going to be serious, then we're going to have to get faithful. We have to be faithful with God. We have to be consistent with God. You want to get, how many like for God to promote you? Amen. Promotion's good. You know what? You will never be promoted until you cultivate faithfulness. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, if you're not faithful in that which is small, what would that be? Just showing up on Sunday. How hard is it to show up on Sunday and to sit down on a padded chair in an air-conditioned building? Boy, that is tough. That's a toughie, isn't it? Remember what Jesus said? If you can't be faithful in that which is least, how in the world can we expect God to give us that which is great? The spiritual things. You want the power of God. You want the blessings of God. You want to see breakthrough in your life or your family. You want to see the miraculous power of God working in your life. Listen, you got to start developing some faithfulness. Just be faithful. Listen, if you just be faithful to the house of God, listen to the word that is taught you and be obedient to it, you will see your life changed in 30 days. I double dog dare you to prove it. Come on. What if you went to your job the way that you approach spiritual things? I mean, it may be great. Hopefully it would be. But here's the thing. Didn't Jesus say that spiritual things are eternal, but the natural things are what? Are what? Are what? Are what? I'm hard of hearing. What'd you say? Oh, okay. So, in your estimation, if spiritual things are eternal and the natural things are temporary, which do you think would be more important? Okay, so if spiritual things are more important, what should get your primary attention? Well, there you are. You've convicted yourself. Okay? So here's the thing. Let's get faithful. And you know, it really, once you start developing it, you know what? It gets easier. It gets easier. It gets easier. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to develop my relationship with God every day. I'm gonna come to the house of God. I'm gonna be faithful to give my tithes and my offerings. I'm gonna be faithful to serve somewhere in the body of Christ. I'm gonna get in there and I'm gonna be faithful. You know, the Bible says that an unfaithful messenger is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's what it says. Listen, let's develop faithfulness. Let's cultivate it. Amen. Let's encourage one another. Let's develop that faithfulness, because you know what it's going to cause? It's going to cause growth in you. Turn over to Matthew 25 real quick. I got to read this to you because I want you to see how important it is. I know you think that preacher's just trying to get us to come to church. That's right. You got it. But I want you to see the benefit of it. 25:23. This is the parable of the talents, and I'm not going to read the whole thing for sake of time. But you go on down there and Jesus is speaking. He says, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So who's going to get the well done from Jesus? The faithful servant. Amen? You know, how many of you like, I mean, honestly, from your heart of heart, you really like God to use you? God, I want you to use me however you want to, but I want to be used by God. Listen, I'm telling you the key to it. If you will cultivate faithfulness, I promise you, God will use you. He will use you to change lives. He will use you to make a difference in the kingdom. But the first step is you got to develop some faithfulness. In the parable of the talents, you know, the one who had the least was also the least faithful. The one who had the one talent given to him, he wasn't faithful at all. You know, the old saying, they say, you know, if you want to get something done, find the busiest person. Well, you know, there's a truth to that. You know why? Because they're a faithful person. They're faithful. And you know, this is the thing. God's not looking for the greatest talent, the greatest orator, the greatest this or that. He's looking for faithful people. You know, and when I found that out years ago, I said, God, there's 10 million things I can think of that I can't do. But I can do this one thing. I can be faithful. Bless God, I can be faithful. And I'm telling you, I have been too. And I want to tell you what, you can be too. And if we'll be faithful, Grace, you know what? God will bless what we do. He will bless you, and He will bless this church, and we're going to grow. Amen? Listen, a lot of you need to be here on Wednesday nights. I can't believe you're all working Wednesday night. I know some of you might have to. Listen, I'm teaching the Word of God here on Wednesday night. I bring out the meat on Wednesday. We eat the steak. Okay? You know? And listen, you need it. You need the Word of God in your life. You need to be taught the Word of God. And here's the thing. So cultivate that faithfulness. Because notice what he said. You have been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Listen. If you want to see the spiritual authority that God's given you operate in your life, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to have to develop faithfulness. You're just going to have to do it. Why is the reason sometimes we tell the devil to get and he just, you know, just settles down even more? Listen, it may be because what? We haven't been faithful. We haven't been faithful because Jesus said, if you're not faithful with the natural things, he said, I won't entrust you with spiritual things. The third thing. We're talking about let's get growing, church. What? Use your gifts to serve. Now, all these are related. Because if you're going to pray and you'll be a faithful person, then you know what? You're going to use your gifts to serve. You're going to use your gifts to serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn over there. Are you still out there? Don't go home before I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what Paul said. Speaking by the Spirit. He said, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. You have been entrusted with something. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, you have been entrusted with something, with the gospel. With advancing the kingdom. God has given you talents, both natural and spiritual gifts that you are to discover. So one of the reasons faithfulness is so important is that's how we discover what our giftings are. When I get faithful, you know, I started out at first, man, I'd pick up trash outside the building. I'd help straighten out the chairs. I'd help usher. I'd help do anything. I just wanted to hang around. I just wanted to be where God was doing something. I wanted to be in the thick of it. I didn't know how to do anything, but I got faithful. I got busy. I did something. And in the process of time of doing that, you begin to what? Discover what your calling is, what your gifts are. Then you begin to zero in on those gifts and develop them to bless the body and to build the kingdom and to strengthen it. That's what it's about, Grace. Listen, God didn't call. No one in here is called to be a spectator. Maybe the little baby in the back for a while. But the rest of us, not one of us are called to spectate. Everyone has the responsibility and everyone has the joy of involvement in the kingdom of God. So when you come in here, you find out what my gift is. How can I do that? I begin to be faithful. And then what? I begin to use my gifts. Why? Because he said that it is required of everyone. Everyone who's been given a trust, listen, just like the parable of the talents, one of these days, you and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to examine us, not to see if you're saved or not, but to see what did you do with what was entrusted to you. Were you a faithful servant with the gifts and the ability that God gave you? I don't know about you, but I want to at least do the very best I can with God's help so that at least I'll be able to say, God, I did the best I could. Amen. I don't want to be saying, you know, going, well, God, And of course, you can't say you didn't know because you're in the service. So here's the thing. Let's be people who serve. Use our gifts. You know, in churches, most churches, you heard of the 80-20 rule? It's probably not true, just true in churches. It's probably true in businesses too. And that is that 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. That's a shame. 80% of the giving is done by 20% of the people. I mean, it doesn't matter. 80% of the praying, you can go right on down the line. That's the general rule of thumb. I pray God that we are not in that mold. But here's the thing. That's another reason. Why is that? Because we have not cultivated faithfulness. We have not cultivated faithfulness. You know, a percentage have. But I'm calling on us. Why don't we shoot for 100%, Grace? Why don't we? Can you imagine 100% of people praying? 100% of people becoming faithful? 100% of people here at Grace using their abilities, natural and spiritual, and getting hooked up and getting plugged in and beginning to work for God? I'm telling you what, this church would be a dynamo. What was the guy used to say? Dynamite! Listen, it would be. It would be. Listen, 12 people got hold of this and changed the world. What can we do? What can you do? Don't sell yourself short. Get faithful to God. So we've talked about three simple things so far. Pray. Cultivate. Be faithful. Get involved using your gifts, your abilities. You say, well, I'm not sure what God's called me to do. Well, do something lest you do nothing. Amen. Amen. Come help out with the trunk or treat. That's a great place to start. You can come. Brother Rick will, or Brother Bob and them put you to work ushering if you're not sure you're going to. There's somewhere that you can get involved, I promise you. You see one of the elders, one of the deacons, see myself or Cindy or one of these on the worship team, somebody, you see one of us, I promise you, we'll find somewhere. You will not have to just come and sit and spectate. You can get involved. The fourth thing is invite people to Grace. We're glad that we had one visitor. Sir, did you come because you were invited or you just found us? Just coming. Okay. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Why do we not have visitors here this morning? Well, Pastor, you just didn't pray enough. You didn't preach good enough. Or whatever. Or they didn't sing good enough. No. They don't know whether I preach good or not because they're not here, are they? Here's the thing. What am I saying? Let's invite people. Just get in the habit. You know, mine fell out here. We made a bunch of cards up that's got information about Grace, time, services, and all that, website, and a map on the back. You know what? You can invite people. You can just hand them one of these cards. Man, we got hundreds of them. And we need to get them off the shelf. You know? Well, yeah, that's what we, one of the things we do is when we go to a restaurant, we leave a tip. Man, we'll leave a tip, not, you know, not, hey, get in out of the sun, a real tip. We put this in, you know, and we'll, sometimes we're led, we'll share with people, we'll talk to people, you know, ask them what they're doing, do they have a church home, or sometimes we'll just tell them, you know, God loves you and God has a plan for your life, or we'll leave a card or something. But there's something we can do. What? Invite people to Grace. How many in here? Boy, I'm really going to go out on a limb now. How many in here wouldn't be ashamed to invite somebody to Grace? Okay, then let's do it. Let's just do it. Let's just get in the habit. You say, but I'm afraid of rejection. Well, you're going to have to get over that. Boy, that's life, isn't it? Isn't that true? You're just going to have to get over that. Listen, Jesus said this in the, remember the parable of the sower? The sower sowed the seed. He didn't make it grow. Sow seed. Sow the seed. Just like the sower, some will fall on good ground, some will fall on not so good ground. But you know what? Don't worry about the ground. Just sow the seed. Amen. Sow the seed. Yeah. Leave the growing to God. Amen. But sow the seed and invite people. That's not too threatening, is it? Just invite people. Say, look, man, we have a great church. The presence of God is there. God wants to do something in your life. And I know if you'd come to church, God would do something. God would speak to you. God would touch your life. God would change you. You know, God cares about what's going on in your life. you come to church with me. I'll meet you. You know, I'll meet you out front at 10:25. I'll meet you out front. I'll come by and pick you up. Oh, Pastor, that's a lot of work. It costs gas. I know it. Cost Jesus a lot of gas to go up Calvary, didn't it? So here's the thing. Let's invite people. Turn to Luke's Gospel 14. I know you think, oh, Pastor, this is such a simple message. Well, once we master this one, we'll move on to deep things. Amen? Luke 14, 23. Listen to this. This is the parable, you know, the great banquet and all, the great feast. Pick it up in verse 22. Sir, the servant said, what you've done is ordered, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads, the country lanes, and make them come in so that my house will be full. Wow. Jesus was pretty emphatic, didn't he? He said, make them come in. Yeah. Now, we're not saying strong arm people, but what is he saying here? That we don't need to be timid either. Don't be timid about your faith. Don't be timid about the gospel. Don't be timid about the ability of the grace of God to change your life. It changed yours, didn't it? I mean, look what a mess you were and look what it did for you. Isn't that true? Boy, I've shared a little bits and pieces of my testimony. It's true for me. I'm telling you what. Man, I was the dregs. And look what it did for me. Look what it did for you. So here's the thing. I'm confident of this. Not because, listen, don't put your confidence, oh, I hope the pastor preaches good. That's not what it's about. It's about that God, they come in here in the presence of God and something's going to change their life. That something is the presence of God. Amen. It is the power of God. And here's the thing. You know why? Because we're all going to be praying. We're all going to be believing. The gospel is going to go forth. You're going to invite them to come in. The power of God's going to be here. Hey, yeah. It's a done deal, isn't it? Amen. We're going to be faithful. We're going to do our part. Amen? Amen? Let's do it. The fifth thing. We're talking about let's get growing. Five things everybody can do. Now, here's the thing. Give financially. Give financially. Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So put your treasure in the kingdom, guess where your heart's going to do. Jesus was saying your heart follows your treasure. You don't believe that? Then write me out a check for $1,000. Sure. You're not going to just go writing out checks for $1,000 to everybody you meet. What? But see, here's the thing. The principle is this. What does God want? Does God need your money? No, God doesn't need your money. Okay? Does the local church need your money? Yes, we need your money. But God doesn't need your money. But here's the thing. God needs your heart. God wants your heart. And he said, your heart's going to follow your treasure. So if I put treasure by giving financially to support the work of the kingdom of God. When I give, what am I doing? I'm declaring, okay, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. I'm laying up treasure for God. And you know what? That's where my heart's going to be. It's going to be attached to that. It's going to be attached to the kingdom. It's going to be attached to advancing the work of God in the local church and the gospel there. And you know what? Jesus said, if you do that, he said, you are laying up treasure in heaven. How many, when you get to heaven, want to have something there? You know, I've said this before. I've done a number of funerals in 30 years, and I have never seen, a hearse pulling a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. But here's one thing you can do. You can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead by giving to God. Listen. See, here's the thing. Do you know this? When anybody got any investments like, stock market or mutual funds or whatever, you know, do you pay any attention to what's happening where you got your money invested? You don't? Yeah. Well, you should. I'll bet you if you had enough invested in it, you would. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's the principle, isn't it? If you invest in a thing, guess what? You've there's an attachment there. I got something in it. I got, you know, I'm connected to this thing. See, this is the thing. When you get committed enough to where you're faithful, where you serve, where you sow financially into a thing, I'm going to tell you what. I won't have to be mentioning this kind of message again, because you know what? Your heart's going to be there, because your treasure's going to be there. Your time, your effort, your life, your finances, your prayer. Your life. So here's the thing. Where's your heart? Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure at? Look real quickly. You're there in Luke. One more scripture here. Luke 16:11. We're going to get to the communion here in a minute. 16:11. Powerful truth right here. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking. He says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own property to own? How many know that the Bible says, God says in the Bible that the tithe belongs to Him? Do we need to turn there? Y'all know that. The tithe belongs to God. So what was Jesus saying here? He said, if you can't be trustworthy in somebody else's property, God's tithe, he said, you're not going to get anything for yourself to be trustworthy with. Ooh. Isn't that what it says? Thank you, honey. Listen. Notice what he says there. If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own, the property of your own to do? In another place, he says, if you've not been faithful with natural things, he said, you will not be entrusted with spiritual things. Hello? Why? God's trying to develop us. God's trying to work on us. You want revelation. You want insight. You want to understand the ways of God, the kingdom of God, and the moving of the Holy Spirit and God's word. Then I'm going to tell you one of the things is you got to what? You got to begin to be faithful in the finances. You got to be trustworthy. You got to begin to sow and to give what belongs to God and give it to Him on a regular basis. Because here's the thing, I'd rather have the true riches of God than to have a little extra money in my pocket. Come on. That little extra money ain't going to get the job done. Amen? When you need to run the devil off, when you need healing in your body, when you need a miracle, that little extra bucks that you held back, that ain't going to get it. Amen? And I don't want something like that to be a stumbling block for something God wants to do in my life. Amen? So five things. What? Pray. Let's be faithful. Let's use our gift to serve. Let's invite people. Share your testimony. Invite people. And let's sow into the work of God financially. Let's don't let the 80-20 rule be true here at Grace. Let's don't sit back and let a few people have to carry the whole load. Listen, the more of us that get involved, the quicker the work will be. You know, I've had people ask me, well, Pastor, you've been here 3 years. Why haven't we grown more? Why haven't we done this? Why haven't we done that? Listen, it may be because what? We ain't get enough people that will get in here and work with us. Maybe if you just made a fresh commitment to these five things. What if we all just made a fresh commitment to these five things? We'll do these five things and see and watch what God will do here at Grace. If we'll do these five things, if we'll pray. If we'll be faithful, if we'll use our gifts and abilities to serve, if we'll invite people and reach out and bring them to Grace, if we'll give of our finances the part that belongs to God, if we will do these five things consistently, I promise you on the authority of God's word, this place will fill up. This place will grow. And it won't be for the glory of any man. It'll be for the glory of God. Amen? Isn't it? I mean, what on here was so hard? Was there anything that looked that hard to you, brother, of the five things I mentioned? Yeah, it's pretty simple, aren't they? We pray. I can pray. I might not be the best. He didn't say you had to be a great prayer. He just said pray. Yeah. I don't know what a great prayer is anyway. I think a great prayer is somebody that does it. Yeah. Just do it. Now, right? Pray. Be faithful. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Bless God. I can be faithful for Jesus. I can be faithful to the house of God. I can be here. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Man, I mean, you know, I see people, man, they get involved in sports or they got a hobby or something. Bless God, they won't miss it come hell or high water. There, I said it. Excuse me for cussing. But here's the thing. Let's get faithful to the house of God. Somebody just woke up. What did he say? Use our gifts. Use our gifts. It may just be, you know, in helping some way. Maybe you can't sing. It's funny, isn't it? We always wish we had the gift somebody else had. Isn't that funny how that works? I see these guys singing and playing instruments. I say, man, I wish I could do that. You know? But all of us have got something we can do. You know, there are guys that come that help repair and keep the building up. What a blessing that is. Do all kind of things. Don't limit yourself and say, well, I don't have any. But you just haven't gotten busy enough to find out what it is yet. Then invite people to come and give of your finances. And you know what? We do this, we're going to become unified. Amen. We're going to become unified. Listen, we don't become unified because you agree with every jot and tittle of my doctrine or my teaching or my this or my that. That's not where unity comes in. Unity comes in when we can get all on the same page heading toward the same goal. I want to see the kingdom of God advanced. I want to see people saved and healed, filled with the Spirit. I want to see this place filled up with people that are saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You know, we can get on the same page about that. That's all that matters. All this other stuff, let's don't get all nitpicky about all that. Well, I do it this way. Well, praise God. Here's the thing. I'm going to commit to you this. Listen, if you will do this, I promise you, I will always preach and teach a fresh message, a life-giving message. I will have a fresh word for you and for whoever you invite to bring in. And we will endeavor to allow the Holy Spirit to move and to minister however He wants to. We will do that. We will create an atmosphere with a worship team. We are committed to creating an atmosphere where the presence of God can be sensed, where people can be touched. And I'm telling you, Grace, if we will, all of us, come together and do this, God will do great things. And listen, He will do them speedily. Listen, God's not the delay. Amen? I found out when there's delay, it's usually moi. Isn't that right? So we can do these things, every one of us. And if we do them, we're going to see God use this church and use it in a great way. And you know what? Then all get, think about this, all the people that come in and fill this place up, then they all get busy doing it. Amen? And then we'll just get busy and fill it up again then. Well, why not? There's enough sinners out there. Sinners ain't the problem, that's for sure. There's plenty of sinners out there to fill it up. Isn't that true? Last time I looked, Gary, there was plenty of them, wasn't there? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask our elders to come. We're going to prepare just before we leave, receive the Lord's table. Five simple things. And every one of us, we said, you guys come in. Every one of us said, you know, I can do that. I can do that, Pastor. I can do that. Let's do this. Let's encourage one another. Amen. Yeah. Encourage one another to be faithful. Encourage one another to pray. Encourage one another to use their gifts. Amen. If you know people, maybe they weren't here to hear this message today, get a copy of it and get it to them. Amen. Sure. Listen. Things do not happen accidentally. You'll never hear about the accident of salvation. No, it was what? The plan of salvation. You didn't get accidentally saved. Oh, you may have thought it was an accident. But I'm telling you what, God had it planned. And God has a plan for us here. And if each one of us will do our part, we're going to see that plan unfold. Amen? Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to partake of the Lord's table here. The way we do it here at Grace, whether you're a member or not, if you're a believer, then you are welcome to partake of the elements. And in just a moment, the men are going to serve you. We ask everybody to hold the elements. And then I'm going to pray over each of the elements and we'll receive them together as a body. Guys, go ahead and serve the people. I'm going to read you some scripture while they're serving you. Okay, guys, as soon as you're ready, you can go. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, he said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving," that's the cup we're about to receive in a moment here, "for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ." You know, what is communion all about? Is it just some ritual that we do once a month here at Grace? The Apostle Paul said here, first of all, it's a cup of thanksgiving. You know, when you hold that cup in your hand that signifies the precious blood of Jesus, one of the first things that should rise up from within us is thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you loved me so much that you gave your Son. Thank you that you loved me so much that Jesus, you took all of my sins. You gave your life. You shed your blood. The first thing, he said, it's a cup of thanksgiving. And we should let thanksgiving go up to God. And then noticeably, secondly, he said it's a participation in the blood of Christ. What does that mean? That means that as we participate in communion, we are also recognizing that we have partaken of the blood of Jesus, and that that blood has made us new. That blood has cleansed our life from every sin, from every iniquity, from every unclean thing. We have participated in the spotless blood of Jesus. It's kind of like a spiritual transfusion has taken place, where the blood of Jesus has been infused into our life, and we've become brand new and whole before Him. And He said, "Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" The Bible says that His body was broken. Stripes were laid on His back, and that by those stripes, healing is ours. And in just a minute or two, when we partake of this bread, you know what we're doing? We're participating in that broken body. And our participation will bring forth healing in our body. If you need healing in your body from anything, whatever it is, from something slight to something serious, when we pray and partake of the bread, He said, you're going to participate in the redeeming power of the body of Jesus, the stripes that were laid on Him. You're going to participate in that. And there's going to be healing that will come forth for you and your body. Did everyone get served? Did we miss anybody out there? Everybody got served? How about Ralph? You got good job, guys. Thank you. Thank you, dear brother. I want you to take the bread, if you would, and hold it in your hand. The Apostle Paul said, it is a participation in the body of Christ. Now, Father, we thank you for the stripes laid on Jesus. And Father, your word says that those stripes were for our healing. And as we take this bread, by faith, we participate in the body of Christ and we receive healing in our bodies from pain, from sickness, or from any malady in our body. In Jesus' name, let's eat and receive healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for the healing power of the body of Jesus, the stripes laid on Him. I declare, oh God, that my body receives life and health and strength from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I thank you, Lord. We participate. I participate in the healing power of the body of Christ Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you for the cup. You said it is a cup of thanksgiving. And we are so grateful, Lord, that you loved us. Even when we were unlovable, you loved us. You gave your life for us, Jesus. You shed your blood for the remission of our sins. And we thank you, Lord, as we drink this cup, that we are forgiven, that we are children of God. We belong to you. We're eternally secure because of the blood. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands for a moment? Father, thank you. Thank you for the blood, for the body. Thank you for healing, for salvation. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Father, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The godly for the ungodly, the worthy for the unworthy. And now you have made us brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, how great are you, Lord. How great are you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you had a good day in the Lord. Did you have a good day at church today? Isn't it good? Listen. By the blood, by the body, by the power of the Holy Ghost who lives in us, we can do these five things. Piece of cake. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. Let's encourage one another. You know? You know, from time to time, it might be something just simple. Just, you know, I might walk by and go. And we'll remember five things. Five things. Isn't that right? To encourage ourselves. Because, you know, usually, you know, if you're like me, you know, sometimes my intentions outweighs my actions. You ever been there? So that's why we have to be encouraged. Isn't that right? And we can just say, hey, five things. Five things. Five things. And let's see what God will do. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. Can we just, I know if you've got to go, you can step out. But listen, can we take just another minute? Lift our hands. God, we love you. We love you and we're loved by you. We love our brothers and sisters here at Grace. Lord, we're grateful and thankful to be a part of the body of Christ and to be a part of Grace. God, how good it is. How good it is. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all the faithful people here at Grace.